Yo, when I say pop up, I mean pop up. I mean pop up. What's going on, D.C., Maryland, Virginia? Welcome to Hurt's House. It's been a long, long, long time. And to be perfectly clear, it's going to be a long, long, long time before I do this again. Nobody got any warning. Nobody got any heads up. I told the crew, I said, hey, I'm going to be doing the pop-up Hurt's House. I told them 7. I didn't feel like waiting until 7. It is 6:24 Eastern Standard Time, the only time that matters. And this is going to be exclusively for people on Blog Talk, the people on iTunes, just to give you an idea of what's been happening. Because you'll see this show, this will be the only show I have until the first week in August. So, to be perfectly honest, just to put it out there, I'm moving. I'm in between places. I moved out of one place before I had another. You get where I'm going? It's kind of weird. I'm in a transitional period right now. And the place where I'm staying right now does not have the appropriate amount of Wi-Fi. By the time I was to get like this little built-in Wi-Fi tower to get me from one week to the next, I'll already be in my new place. And then once I get in my new place, it'll be another couple of days, maybe a week, whatever. However, Comcast, Xfinity, whatever they're calling themselves, however they work, it'll be that long before I get back on the air. I can only tell you that when I get to my new place, I'm going to be taking the podcasting a little more seriously. I don't like podcasting. I don't like it. It's not my dream. It's not what I wanted to do. It's not something I say, oh, I want to give my hot takes on stuff. Random situations. I don't want to do it. You know, GOP said he needed a podcast host. I said, all right. I did a Redskins show, and then boom, all of a sudden I'm the Redskins guy. Then all of a sudden I have people feeding me information. Then all of a sudden the people who were feeding me information are afraid of me because I pissed off some people in the Redskins organization. I don't care about none of that. This was never my dream. This was never what I wanted to do. But I recognize that in some instances, under certain lights, I have an act. So that's what's going to happen. So you'll probably see Hurt's House back around the first week in August. I don't know what platform it's going to be on. There are lots of different platforms. I have to thank Robbie Gross and Carol Porter because they've been kind of walking me through the other platforms and how they work, specifically Robbie Gross and Robbie from Sports on the Hill podcast, walking me through other platforms. But it's hard to walk through a platform when you don't have Wi-Fi. So, you know, I hit my mother. Mama heard up, and I'm like, hey, come over there and get my car fixed. Cool. Hey, you mind if I do a load of laundry? Sure, yeah. Hey, do you mind if I do my podcast from your living room in front of the liquor cabinet? Because I love the way your liquor cabinet looks in the back. And look at that healthy selection. I don't even know what that is up there. Kirkland tequila, I've never heard of it. But, man, I want some. It looks pretty awesome. But, yeah, you know, my mom does the bartending thing. So it was either do it from in front of the liquor cabinet or set up the record to do it from in front of that. But, you know, whatever. That's her business. There's so much I want to touch on. And this is going to be the last time I get to talk to everybody for the next month or so. So I have a lot of things I want to talk about. A lot of things. The thing I'm supposed to be talking about, the Redskins, is the furthest thing from my mind right now. I don't want to talk about Dwayne Haskins. I don't want to talk about the hate poisoning of people. I don't want to talk about being right about, you know, the direction the Redskins were going in the draft. I don't want to talk about none of that. I don't need to talk about racial inequality. I don't need to talk about any of that because between True Talk and Nikia Miller's new show, The Race of Relations, we pretty much got that covered. It's going down pretty well. And I'm very satisfied with the discussions that are being had on those shows. And that would be TrueRadioNetwork.com. Catch that Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. Tuesday nights is True Talk, the flagship show. Wednesday nights, The Race of Relations. Now, I just put up a post on my personal wall. I should be using the Hurt's House wall, but I haven't been doing that because, you know, whatever, no excuse. And we're talking about the first time you knew that your skin color made you different. And there's a lot of people that cannot relate to that. There's a lot of people who can't join that conversation.
Where are you going?
Because they never noticed it. But there's a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I don't mean, like, just to be clear, white people, because there are plenty of white people on that post going, I can tell you the first time I noticed that people were being treated different because of their skin color. It's just an avenue I never really thought about. The thought that a lot of people don't understand, still don't understand what is happening in this country. iSports guy came on a post of mine a couple weeks ago, and I thought he was trolling, but he said he was very grateful for Trump, and it turned a lot of people off. I like the background. My mom's wondering why the liquor cabinet's open. I like the background. It looks good.
My liquor cabinet to be open.
Oh, man. I didn't know. It's only a couple people looking. So look. You want me to close it?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Breaking my heart to sell my liquor.
I don't want that work. They don't want that work. That's not the work they want. Thank you, Mama. See, y'all lucky. No one gets to see your liquor cabinet. Y'all lucky. All right? I was in trouble for a second. Got out of that. You know what I'm saying? That's all good. I got out of it the way my daughter be getting out of trouble. That's right. That's right. So anyway, I've been having a lot of fun trolling these racists. I have a lot of fun watching them say things and watching people call their jobs and get them fired and watching their subsequent reactions to getting fired. I'm enjoying all of that. But iSports guy came on my show a couple weeks ago, and he said, I'm grateful for Trump. And him and another good friend of mine got into it, and I'm just kind of like Kenan Thompson, like, watching them argue. I know Showtime's going to use that in the promo at some point, Showtime. That's fine, man. I hope you got a screen grab of that. I hope you got a video grab of what I just did. But just watching them go back and forth, and then I asked iSports guy, I'm like, why would you say that? He goes, I am grateful for him because he's giving these racists a voice, so all of these people that we thought were our friends were seeing that they're not. They only tolerated us. And he's so right about that. I'm not going to name names, but there is somebody who I used to have on my show. I'm not going to name names. They can never come on my show again because we can't talk about what we normally talk about. What I would have to talk to that person about would be their blind spot, their pushing of Candace Owens. I would have to talk to them about that. We wouldn't be able to talk Redskins news or anything like that. We wouldn't be able to. It changes the way, and it breaks your heart a little bit to look and see people that you like and you admire stuck, not only in the place. I can deal with someone who's stuck in a place where of, I don't want to talk about racism. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. I can deal with that. But to see someone stuck in, you all are bringing this on yourself. Racism doesn't exist. These are real things that were said. Racism doesn't exist. It's a state of mind. Using old, antiquated arguments to talk about why we have it as colored people, have it so good, so much better than we should. It's rough to watch somebody. But on the plus side of that, because the negative gets talked about a lot, on the plus side of that, it's so good to see the allies. It's so good to see your Caucasian friends, your white friends. I don't even know why I'm supposed to call everybody now. I don't care. I'm going to say white, okay? I'm not here for the PC stuff. It's so good to see my white friends not only stand up and say racism is wrong, but to check their white friends when they see them, people they've known for a long time, people they went to school with, to say, yo, what you're saying right now is racist, and let me tell you why. It's comforting, and it's good, and it's good to show to people, because as black people sometimes, we all know those black people who feel like every white person is out to get us. Every single white person says, nigger when no one's looking. We know those people who feel that way, and it's good that they're getting to see the allies out there helping us. It's good to know that we aren't alone in this whole thing. Terry Crews said something a couple of weeks ago, and he got in a lot of trouble for it, but some of what he said was true. We can't do it alone. Just black people alone, saying Black Lives Matter and marching. And we can't do it alone. We need everybody. So at some point, a line has to be drawn. And I know I've started drawing that line. This isn't the time to stay silent, okay? I've been in situations where two of my best friends have a beef. And I don't mean an argument. I mean a beef. I mean, yo, when I see that motherfucker we are throwing down, I've been in that situation. And one day I'll talk about that and I'll name names, okay? I've been in a situation where two guys I have so much respect for that I would go to bat for at any time have had a beef. And they're confused because I say, yo, if you're going into beef with this person, I can't be a part of it. And they get upset. I don't take sides. I don't. And some people admire that and some people hate it. Some people feel like if you're wrong, some people have the line of thought of if you're with your homeboy and your homeboy starts some shit, you ride with him. And then when it's over, you be like, hey, you were wrong about this, this, and this, 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 and this. If my homeboy is wrong, I feel like it's my duty to talk him off of this course of action. Because if he's somebody who thinks about it in the long term, eventually he'll come back later on and go, you know what? You were right to talk me out of that. Because I wouldn't have wanted to do that, you know? And thank you for having my back. And thank you, you know, and it doesn't always happen that way. Every now and then it turns into, you shouldn't let me whoop that dude's ass at the club. You shouldn't let me do it. You shouldn't let me do it. He spilled my drink. Like, no, you spilled your drink on him because you were drunk. Doesn't matter. You should have. It happens. Those are probably people you don't want to party with. I'm getting off topic. What I'm saying is, Yo, this is good stuff, right? What I'm saying is, this isn't a time to draw the line. This isn't a time for people to be quiet. Silence is loud right now. So when I see people who are ignoring this topic, when I see the entire discussion, George Floyd, can't breathe, systematic racism, systematic oppression, and I see somebody go, man, the baseball season might be coming back. It's like, what? At a time like this, that's how you feel? That's why I can't get on here and talk about anything else, all right? I didn't plan on doing this. I want to talk about NXT and the ratings. I want to talk about the NFL coming back, baseball coming back like anybody care, WNBA, NBA not coming back because a guy who thinks the planet is square is holding it up. And yeah, by the way, back when I was saying that I was a flat earther, I was trolling. Let's just be clear about that. Quick side story, okay? I used to be part of the Flat Earther Society. I thought, and Jermaine's looking at me right now like I knew it. I thought that we were all trolling. I didn't know that there were people who really believed the earth was flat, okay? I didn't know. I was like, I was in the group like, hey, guys, what do we say when someone talks about the hemispheric pressure and yada, yada, yada? They're like, what do you mean, what do we say? I'm like, what do we say? I can't argue with that line of thinking. Vic Williams, he came on my post and he was dropping some real shit. I was like, oh, I don't know that line of thinking. Let me go back in the group and say, hey, guys, what do we say? I didn't know that it was real. I didn't know that people really felt that way. I didn't know people really thought the earth was flat and there was a dome over top of us. And a lot of people didn't know that their friends really thought that it was okay to judge people based on the color of their skin. A lot of people didn't know. A lot of people were sitting and looking and going, I know me personally, to see this friend that I don't want to say her name, to see her post this Candace Owens stuff and say, you all need to see this, it really broke my heart to look and go, oh, you're really riding with her on this. You're behind all this. Oh, okay, cool. It's rough to watch, and it's hard to talk about anything else. So before I go on my hiatus, and like I said, this is going to be a hiatus because I'm going to be shut down until the first week of August. This is where we're at. This is how I feel. I don't feel like there's anything else worth talking about. You know, sometimes I make a post about something else just to make a post about something else because I have learned that when you make too many posts about the geopolitical climate right now, your stuff gets slowed down. Good friend of mine, Danny Carter, he put up some very good videos about the difference between the way black looters and white looters are talked about, the way the media classifies them both, and also talking about how there's been less coverage on the protests, the more peaceful they have gotten. As long as there was looting, there was a lot more attention. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. Not a lot of talk about the protests, huh? People are still protesting. There are still crowds. People are still out there. I'm driving through neighborhoods and seeing clusters of 10, 12 walking all the way down Old Bridge Road on Prince, off of Prince William Parkway. People are still protesting. They're not talking about it because there's no breaking. There's no resistance. There's no nothing. And the police department and the news media is doing the exact same thing that the St. Paul Police Department did when we caught their officer on tape breaking glass and running. You seen him? He was dressed like one of the ninjas in WWE, head to toe. The only thing you could see was this. He had on tactical gloves, tactical boots, a gas mask. My man had on a gas mask and a ski mask underneath it. And he had the umbrella. Not a cloud in the sky. He had an umbrella. L-L-A. My man did not want to be seen. And they caught him on video. And you look at the eyes to that St. Paul officer, and you can easily tell it was him. St. Paul goes, that's not our officer. Our officer was this and this. And I said, hey, why don't you say his name? And they said, hey, if we just keep our mouth shut, this will go away. And that's what happened. I go back every 2 days on that post. Go look at Facebook, St. Paul Police Department. Facebook it right now. You're friends with me, so you'll see the first comment. It's me going, hey, did you guys ever release that camera footage? Oh, you guys going to let this go away? Go look. I don't want the numbers in my live to go down, but go look. St. Paul Police Department. Go look right now. They were content to let that go away. I'm not content to let it go away. Stories like that are ratings. But the funny thing about True Radio Network and the way it was set up, we don't care about ratings. We don't care about numbers. I don't care. I don't care if I have 10 people. I don't care if I have 100 people. I do care that Ball Talk Radio knocked off our top couple of shows just to keep our numbers down. Whatever. But I don't care about that. I care about the 10 or 12 who want to hear it. When I do my Redskin stuff, I don't care if I get 50 listens. I don't care if I do 100 listens. I learned a long time ago. I could do a salacious story and get hundreds of listens. If I decide I was going to come on here right now, eight years later, if I come on here right now and title the show The Fall of RG3, that shit's going to be full. My call logs will be full. People will be texting me going, I'm trying to get through to your show and I can't. But that's not what we do here. We talk about what needs to be talked about. And this is what I thought I needed to be talked about tonight. If I had a run, it would have been thrown out. I'm not talking about nothing else I wanted to talk about. All I'm going to say is, go to my post on my Facebook and look at the people who are talking about it. The first time you knew that your skin color made you get treated different. Go ahead and look at it. I'll tell you mine real quick before I get out of here. Me and my mom was just talking about it. Matter of fact, that post was her idea because she asked me. I was in fourth grade, and there was a large white girl. I'm not going to say her name, but I remember her name. You understand? Do you remember everybody you interacted with in fourth grade? I remember her name. And we were at the bus stop. And she called me a black piece of shit. And I called her something. I don't remember what I called her, but I fired back. I said something. And she walked over to me. And I decked her. She was taller than me. She was bigger than me. She was sixth grade. Not an excuse, but yo, she came over to me. She slapped me. I dropped her where she stood. And I just remember sitting on the bus going, oh, I'm in so much trouble. I know I'm in trouble. And we're on the bus, and she's crying the whole way. And she, looking back on it now, she weaponized her womanhood. She's, oh, my God, he just hit me out of nowhere. I'm like, it wasn't out of nowhere. But whatever, you know, she never hit a girl. And I'm just like, whatever, you know, I did it. You know, I just got to deal with it. That's my, the 76 Chevelle, if you can hear that. So we get to the principal's office, and my mom comes in. And she looks at me, and she's so disappointed. And they're like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And the principal's kind of like, you know, he's generally a good kid, but, you know, this, we can't stand for this. And, you know, they kind of were skipping over why you did it. And I'm just like, well, you know, when she hit me, I was, my mom said, when she what? I said, well, when she hit me, she said, stop. She hit you first? I'm like, yeah. She goes, go way outside. I don't know what they talked about, but her whole attitude changed. And she had to explain to me. She was just like, you know, people are going to treat you different, not just because you're black, but because you're bigger, you're larger, you're odder, you know? So I get it all three ways. Yo, I get it all three ways. So I've had to deal with all of that my entire life. So I'm not saying I'm numb to it. I'm just used to it. I'm used to it. I'm sad to say that between Mike Brown and Sandra Bland, I started to get numb to it. I would see a shooting in the street, or I would see a cop get, I would see a kid get killed by a cop. I mean, Trayvon Martin, all of that in there. And I would go, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it's a tragedy and all, but we'll be over. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having something happen to you so many times you just get to the point where you're just like, yeah, it is what it is. It was a nonchalant attitude that the rappers in the early 90s had when they were getting beat by the police. They were like, Rodney King, niggas get beat by the police every day. It was like, it's unfathomable. That was 30 years ago. Rodney King was 30 years ago. What? I mean, back then, you never, you know, camcorders were new. How many do you think they happened that the cameras weren't out? Everyone has their cameras out now, and it's still happening. It's like, okay, well, now we're seeing it on camera. So, what? I said this a long time ago. I said, right when all this started, right after Aubrey was shot. I feel like I said that name wrong. But when homeboy was jogging and he got shot. I'm sorry, I'm so angry right now just thinking about that story. When homie got shot, Ahmaud Arbery, when he got shot, I said, we're getting ready to turn the corner here. That was a lynching. And we're getting ready to turn the corner where we're going to go right from being upset to having too much. So when the riots were happening, I was not in the crowd of, hey, guys, tearing up our own city's not going to do. I wasn't feeling none of that. I wasn't feeling none of that. And I'm still not. Still not. I say all that to say this. I'm going to be off the air for about a month. The entire month of July, I'm going to be off the air. And I just want you to know how I feel before I go. I love everything that's happening. I love the riots. I love the fact that people know how we feel. I love the fact that getting to see where your friends stand, for better or for worse. Go look at your friends who are being quiet. Just ask them how they feel about it. Because at this point, silence is complicity. At this point, anybody who's like, I don't have an opinion on it, that's not good enough for me. It's not good enough for me. Normally, I calm down. Normally, I calm down after a couple of weeks of stuff like this. I'll be mad. I'll be insufferable to be around, and then I get over it. But right now, I don't see not being mad about it anytime soon. I don't see a point in time where I'm going to want to talk about anything but this. I'm not going to want to talk about the Redskins. I'm not going to want to talk about the football season. I'm supposed to be getting my fantasy football league back together, you know? We need to start doing that soon. I just don't feel no need to, you know? I got to raise a daughter in this shit. You know, with COVID-19 and the racial plight and all this stuff, if we sent my daughter over to Puerto Rico and things started getting worse, and it was just like got to a point where it was like, yo, Puerto Rican schools are ready to get started. Arlington doesn't know what they're going to do. What are we going to do? So now she has to stay in Puerto Rico for a little longer than I would like. I just don't care anymore. I don't. I really don't. And I don't have the patience for anybody who feels like it's okay to be quiet at a time like this. I just want to be very clear where I stand on all of that. So to everybody who's been out there being an ally and speaking out and speaking up and marching and all that good stuff, I went to my dad's house and saw Black Lives Matter posters. Like, oh, yeah, your sister be marching. I love it. To all of those people, thank you, God bless you, and be safe, because you know you're going to lose friends and opportunities over this. I'm still going to continue to help people lose jobs. I'm still going to continue to keep those screenshots and text jobs like, hey, this is your employee. Are you cool with this? Are you fine with that? And double check back later to make sure the person still doesn't work there. Remember Breonna Taylor too. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, numb, just numb. Oh, girl got shot while she was asleep. No knock warrant. They just kicked the door in and shot her. And her boyfriend got arrested for it. Man, that's just what be happening. That's just how I felt. You know? It's only a matter of time. So to that end, I'm going to say this. To those people who are out there, something else I don't have time for. 4 years ago, everybody took a lot of time because they didn't like Hillary Clinton. And they didn't think that Donald Trump had a chance to be president. They took a lot of time to spread fake memes about Hillary and say messy things about Hillary just because they didn't like Hillary. They didn't like how Bernie was done, all that stuff. You know, I'm not here for any of that. I'm not here for it this year. Anybody I see that is going against Joe Biden just to be cute, just to troll, just to get their profile up, just to get their views and their comments, I can't rock with it. I can't rock with them. I can't rock with none of that. Donald Trump did his first speech in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of the Black Wall Street Massacre, the day after Juneteenth. He was going to do it on Juneteenth, and he got talked out of it kicking and screaming. That entire speech, he didn't mention the racial divide. He didn't mention George Floyd. He didn't mention Black Lives Matter. All he said was there were some bad people outside protesting. You know who was outside protesting? Black Lives Matter. Those are bad guys. But there was very good guys, very good people in Charlestown. I don't have time for that this year. I don't have time for it. I'm in a bad mood. I'm frustrated by this moving process. I'm frustrated by the circumstances around me moving. I'm frustrated about my daughter being in Puerto Rico because it's safer over there than it is over here. I'm frustrated by all of those things. I don't have time for anyone's bullshit this year, all right? Get out and vote. Vote for who you want. If you're fine with what's happening, vote that way. If you're not fine, don't. But keep the trolling to yourself. Don't bring that shit over here. Only warning. We'll catch y'all later.
Okay.
Yo.
No.
Yo.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not doing the show portion. Okay. Even though this is a recording, I'm not doing the show portion. But yeah, I'm sorry I put you in the spot. I just wanted to say what I had to say. I had it building up, and this is going to be the last chance I on the Wi-Fi until I'm moving.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem
so
at
I
all.
Put,
like,
if you're listening on iTunes, this is on air, my producer, Nakia Miller, the host of the Race of Relations. Heard every, heard normally on Wednesdays here on True Radio Network, but it's going to be on Friday this week.
Yeah, I'm going to be uploading a show. And then we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program on this coming Wednesday, because admittedly, I've had a lot going on. I'm not going to go into it for the people who are listening, but those people who know me personally know what I'm doing. And
fair enough.
Yeah. But you know, I've just been kind of busy and exhausted because I've been in the middle of a lot of things. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's been rough. I didn't realize how rough it was, so I got about halfway through that speech. I was like, you know what, let me go ahead and end this. Let me not try to drag this into a show because I'm already annoyed just having to talk about it again after all these years, I have to have another conversation about it. I think the time where I said, at the point in the video where I said, years ago, I think that's when it comes for me. I was like, oh, you know what?
Yeah, I mean,
30 years, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because when the Ahmaud Arbery situation popped off, I'd already heard about Breonna Taylor because I have family in Louisville, and they've been talking about the Breonna Taylor situation for a while. So I knew about that before it became mainstream, and then the Ahmaud Arbery situation occurred, and, you know, everything was already kind of getting a fire lit under it with that. But after George Floyd, you know, the life cycle of when somebody black dies needlessly, you know, was going through its normal motions with Ahmaud Arbery. You know, we're outraged for a minute, and, you know, people's demand change, and, you know, there are protests and rallies, and then it all dies down and people get back to the business of their day. But when George Floyd got killed the way that he did, you know, this just made, you know, the response entirely different. And, I mean, you know, when you're black and you're grown and you see these things happening over and over and over again, you know, like you said, you become desensitized to it because you see it so much. It's like, well, here we go again, you know. But now it's at an entirely different level. And, you know, because people saw the George Floyd situation and there was no way to write him off. There was no way to say, oh, he must have been a criminal. Oh, he must have done something wrong. He, you know, all of these different things. And then when it happened, you know, the deja vu of Eric Garner, you know, you just couldn't dismiss it. It was like, you know, everything that, you know, non-people of color try to use in order to dismiss the death of black men and women, you know, was just easy to write off. And, you know, and then the fact that it was on video, I mean, this is just, the response to this is just hella different. And, you know, especially on Facebook and on other social media profiles, you really get to see, you know, people's true colors and their true feelings. And admittedly, there are some people that I had a lot of respect for. And I mean, and this is not just, you know, as part of my personal life, but part of my professional life. And, you know, as well, that, you know, I've had to smooth and just write off. And, you know, I'm at the point, it's like, miss me with the bullshit, miss me with it.
I hear you. And tell you what, man, I am just happy. I am happy to see our allies out there. You know how close I came to saying her name? You know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I feel bad enough for saying her, because anybody who wants to put the pieces together can put the pieces together. But I came really close to saying her name while I was talking about this because
yeah,
I just don't care that much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, you know, I can normally deal with a lot of things. And, you know, I've learned to temper my responses, but I had to go in on that person too. And, you know, I just don't think that they will ever understand the difference that there is being Black in this society. I don't think they're ever going to get it. And, you know, if I lose that contact because of that, so be it. I'll be all right. You know, but I mean, it was to the point where I was tempted to send, you know, send emails to certain organizations in regards to that, their content. And the only reason why I didn't was because I've got too much shit going on in my personal life to even be bothered
yeah.
with it. I don't have time no more. And, you know, eventually there's going to be somebody who's going to have the time.
Yeah, let me tell you what. I wish I was in that group. I wish I was in that group before I unfriended her. Because that group I'm in, I think I invited you to it. That group gives me a little bit of joy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I get a little bit of joy from watching the people, especially when they get the reaction to the people like, oh, these fuckers cost me my job, yada, yada, yada. Like, oh, yes. Feel a little bit of that pain.
Right?
Don't worry. You'll land on your feet. You'll land on your feet. You'll be fine because, you know, I've always heard you guys take care of yourselves. But look, I need to get out of here. I need to get back across the bridge before it starts raining. Thanks for stopping by. But we're going to go ahead and wrap this up.
All right, Matt.
All right, y'all. Everybody listening on iTunes, I'll see y'all in August. And keep watching True Real Network for updates. Thank you very much.